exciting. And it's better than a soap opera. Terry Sullivan and I are watching the live court proceedings from Florida on the Anna Nicole thing. And this crazy judge with a New York accent was just on the phone with the, I guess, the medical examiner. And there's a problem possibly with the embalming, so maybe we can pop that up and hear a little
bit.
We can.
It's so frustrating to listen to, though, because it keeps cutting in and out.
Next week, they are not sure that they can guarantee that there are not going to be changes which are going to interfere with the appearance, especially of the face of the deceased.
And this deceased is Miss Anna Nicole Smith. She cared about a beauty doctor, as you are well aware.
Yes, that's absolutely so. And that's the reason why very early in the game we told them shortly after our autopsy that we would like to see the embalming as early as possible, precisely because of this reason you are making.
Therefore, we were buying me a couple weeks here. I don't even have a couple weeks anymore.
And the other possibility is because shipping the body involves some bureaucratic procedure which may take 2 or 3 days, that perhaps whoever has the custody of the body would agree to have the viewing here in Broward and then ship the body to the place of burial.
I had two jets ready to go this morning. I had two of our citizens in Broward County. I called them early in the morning. One of them owns a ball team in town. The other one's a good heart doctor. They were ready to give me a jet to go on. That's what I was trying to do here. But I was ready to go. I thought for a minute we were getting a resolution on this issue.
Your Honor, could we take a break?
I will take a break.
She's freaking.
Yeah. Alrighty. So I have...
We thought of another possibility that perhaps the human could be involving would agree to receive the certificate and make the necessary steps for shipping the body.
Well, then you're going to change my statutes.
Okay, Howard K. Stern just got the realization now that he is screwed because this judge is going to make this case the biggest thing ever.
Right.
And he's Howard K. Stern basically crying right now.
Yep. His head is bowed. His hands are clamped up against his forehead.
I think he's crying.
Yeah, I'll reach
out. Is it looking like he's crying?
Yeah.
This is live coverage of the court proceedings from Florida.
You're fast. Yes, a question from
Howard K. Stern.
Talking about the embalming, is there any other procedure that can be utilized to ensure the lack of deterioration of the body as a result of the embalming on Saturday?
There's no other procedure
we should know. No, we exercise all due care.
Going
to render a decision by the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Let the chips fall as they may. We're on an expedited fashion.
Let's get a
fashion around it.
And the party to know that about that, Your Honor. So the risks are clear, that's all.
All right, Doc. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You know where I stand. I thought I had 2 additional weeks. I was looking at a 3-week.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Howard K. Stern is... Yeah, he's screwed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, this feed is pretty sketchy.
So my client's decision on Mr. Milstein.
Okay. We'll take a little break from that. So anyway, this is very exciting. You're listening to the live court proceedings, and this judge isn't going to take any crap from anybody from Florida. The other top story this afternoon, Britney Spears is back in rehab. The singer was doing all kinds of shocking things, as we know. The woman was apparently encouraged by Spears' family members, including her mother. She reportedly first entered rehab last week in Antigua, but checked out less than 24 hours. She's been frequently photographed in recent weeks visiting L.A. and New York City nightclubs. And so that's pretty crazy.
I think that he's going to put the Anna Nicole Smith's mother on the stand.
Okay.
Oh, this is gold.
Is he going to put Anna Nicole's mother?
Yeah, but this feed is, I don't want to torture people. It's so frustrating because it keeps cutting out.
Testifying with certain physically present in the courtroom.
Can we...
We're doing it.
Let's see. Can we shuffle that feed somehow?
Yeah, I'll find another one.
Okay.
Looking.
Let me do a couple of things here. First of all, the relationship between Anna Nicole Smith and her mother, Virgie, is front and center in the courtroom. Howard K. Stern testified that Anna was angered when her mother went to the media and accused him of murdering her son, Daniel. Stern then said Anna vowed that her mother would never see Daniel Lynn. So here's some of the audio from this morning.
One of them is that it really bothered Anna when Virgie went to the media and said that either Anna or I had murdered Daniel.
What's that? Run that by me again.
This is Arthur over there, went to the media and said that...
Well, you said that to me.
I had murdered Daniel.
You said that to me earlier.
I or Anna had murdered Daniel. And that is something that it just angered Anna. At that point, she said that this woman will never see my daughter.
Yeah, that's how it came. Let's go back to the live feed now from the courtroom in Florida.
Okay, it was working better. It looks like...
It's going to be under the supervision of Dr. Herber. He's going to supervise it with the help of the guardian ad litem, Milstein.
Good.
Yes.
Is there a problem with doing it at the MA's office?
No. There's no problem.
And
because it would seem to me, if that's what we're talking about doing here,
right,
that they have security,
yes,
et cetera, and you don't have a jurisdictional...
Do you think there's a reason why I keep having Dr. Purvey here throughout these proceedings?
He's been a tremendous help.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the location and the current nature of Ms. Smith probably is not the best place to be.
I'm going to let you...
So earlier, the phone call that we heard a few minutes ago was the medical examiner, Dr. Perper, calling and saying Anna Nicole's body is deteriorating faster than normal, and it might not be enough around for 2 weeks.
If it's agreed for any reason that...
He also just said that since the mother had to sit through Howard K. Stern's testimony, he can't go anywhere, and the mother's going to be on the stand, and he has to sit right there and listen to her as well.
So there.
Ms. Smith's body will be removed from the medical examiner's office.
Also, Howard K. Stern said he didn't imagine that Anna Nicole was going to die and thus didn't create a living will or durable power of attorney in case she passed away. Earlier, Stern said that all of Anna Nicole's computers, diaries, files, contracts, and other items had been so-called stolen from the Bahama home, and he has not been able to retrieve them.
That guy is going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still the feed. It's just not working.
All right. Well, we'll get back to it a little bit later. So this is exciting. Things going on live as we speak.
And we're here live.
We are. In the meantime, we'll rejoin you momentarily with more live action from the courtroom at Broward County with this crazy judge, Larry Seedlin. But now back to more of the best of the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Coming up later on, we have Scott Daly, Film Fever Radio, that's going to be here. Rick, a Tic Tac is a drop shot consisting of a shot glass of orange vodka dropped into a Red Bull and orange juice, also known as a vitamin C.
There you go.
Attention, Sarah X. Dillon, says this woman.
I absolutely love getting hammered and watching America's Next Top Model. Attention advertisers.
Awesome.
I knew I felt some awkward attraction to you. P.S. What the heck was up with 200-pound Tyra last night?
Seriously, I'm trying to find a still from that show, but can't seem to find them.
And this is how fat Tyra Banks has gotten. Somebody is sending me a story of from like a year ago when she did the fat suit thing, claiming that this is the thing. But this is last year. He's like, Rick, she was wearing a fat suit. But this is from last year. This is November 4th, 2005. Tyra Banks experiences obesity. Maybe she just tried obesity. It's like trying heroin or bisexuality. Well, you know, she likes it so much.
Well, it's behind the time because they were just talking about one of the girls graduating. So it's like 4 months back. So maybe she lost the weight already. But at this point of the filming, she looks really bad.
I'm just saying the still I saw of her made her look just as fat as she did in the fat suit. And the fat suit was simulating like 300 pounds or something like this. So I don't know. It seems like she would have had to work pretty hard both to put that weight on and to take it off this quickly. I don't know. We'll find some definitive answer to it. Rick, why don't you name your hand Fisty LaRue? Okay, there you go. Thank you. Let's welcome out to the Rick Emerson Show, the original hairy, scary guy, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge from ClydeLewis.com. Clyde Lewis.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, sir.
How are you?
How are you?
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I've read a scary book.
I brought in a bunch of scary books.
This isn't another book wrapped in somebody's skin, is it?
No,
it's wrapped in like this creepy
fabric.
I'm
tired of you bringing in skin books.
This book was given to me by a man. I don't know who he was, but he said he had to give it to me, and I had to pay $1 for it. It was at the Horns Across the Hawthorne. Remember after we went to Dante's and I was doing my
meal? Was he clutching a paper bag full of glowing green things?
No.
Was he telling you how to kill anti-sponge?
No, but what it is that it's a 100-year-old book called The Mark of the Beast. And it's a religious tract, and I was reading it today, and it's really creepy. It's about all these women. It was written in the 1900s about all these women that wanted to give birth to the Antichrist. It's kind of an interesting little book that I was looking over.
That you just carry around for no reason.
Well, I'm cramming for my event on Halloween, actually. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of get the feel of it all and get the creepiness going. And then I have a copy of the Necronomicon.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Everybody should have this in their library, the Necronomicon. A book that's never been written, actually. They say that it's the book that has not been written, the Necronomicon.
That's all fake. I heard it's all fake.
Well, this is the thing.
Because they claimed that it was from like 1500 or something, but yeah. Some guy wrote it like in 1910.
Well, okay. Lovecraft allegedly was involved with this, and this guy that wrote this tome of the Necronomicon is actually a well-known chaos magician or a black magic guy.
It's
black magic guy.
And an al-ripist.
So I was reading through this, and what's interesting about the Necronomicon is that even though it's supposed to be fake, a lot of things that are written in the Necronomicon are based on the Old Testament, which is really scary. So if you look through it, yeah, I recognize things because I've read the Bible a couple times, and this is taking the Bible one step further, and that is that there are a lot of vampires and werewolves. I mean, if you look in the book of Numbers, if you read the book of Numbers, that book is loaded with vampires and werewolves. You just read the book of Numbers in the Bible. If I can get anybody to read the Bible this way, read it about the vampires and the werewolves in the book of Numbers in the land of Canaan. It's kind of scary.
I tried to read the book of Numbers. I could never figure out what page I was on.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
Oh.
There you go.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you, Aaron.
Ooh.
Village of the Dune. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson program. And I apologize for not knowing more of the details about when and how this is happening, but I guess it'll all be explained. Somebody sent me an email, and they said, did you know that there's a stage production, like a stage play version of Night of the Living Dead happening? And so welcome now the director, John, is it Monteverde?
Am I pronouncing it? Monteverde, Rick.
Monteverde, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I've been listening to your show. It's going great.
So, well, thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong. So is this the same Night of the Living Dead? This is just like they're coming to get you, Barbara?
They are coming to get you, Barbara, yeah. That would be the show. This is about actually my fifth year doing the show.
Uh-huh.
It's becoming kind of an annual Portland, I think, holiday Halloween horror tradition here. It's done live on stage with live actors, live zombies. They rise right up out of the audience frequently, sometimes taking out members of the audience as the show goes along.
Awesome.
And it's attack the actors on stage. But, yeah, we actually even produce it in black and white.
How do you do that? Is it just like a makeup and clothing thing?
And the set and then the lighting.
That's very cool.
The show actually also combines live action with video, so that we actually have segments that we have filmed that look very much like the movie with the actors, and then you see the scenes. The actors almost appear to come right off the screen.
Do you do the classic spade scene where...
We got little Karen Cooper chops up her mom with
spade
and, you know, rips out her dad's kidney and eats it.
I love that scene.
Bring the whole family.
Lovely little actress, 11-year-old Roxanne Stathos, and she's definitely the scariest of all the zombies.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really creepy.
She scares us all every night.
Right.
So no, it's a really I think it's a really exciting alternative to the haunted houses. You know, you can do some of those and come catch us as well. We're at the Valley Theater.
Is it true that George Romero that nobody owns Night of the Living Dead? Somebody told me that's public domain.
About that. And again, this could be urban legend, but
he forgot to put the little C in a circle or whatever on it.
Right before they released Night of the Living Dead, they changed the name. I guess it was originally called Midnight of the Flesh Eaters or something horrible like that. And they changed the name to Night of the Living Dead. And when they changed the name of the film itself, they forgot to put the little copyright thing on there. And now apparently it's public domain. You can download it on online and watch it. And
they're actually showing it on public access television, I think, Halloween night, as a matter of fact.
Well, and I've seen it pop up in a bunch of videos. That Wednesday 13 video uses it too. And Joni, right. I'm like, well, how did they do that? They get permission. But I guess, yeah, it just belongs to it belongs to everybody.
It fell into, the time was up and it fell into public domain. I think pretty recently, actually.
All right, cool. Have you thought about this? Is this the only place? Well, first of all, is this your brainchild to do the Night of the Living Dead play?
It is my brainchild. It's something I came up with about 5 years ago, and a lot of the original cast has been with me. Shuey Hawkins, a local actor, he plays the role of Ben, the lead role and kind of the heroic zombie slayer in it, has been with the show since the beginning, as well as a lot of the other cast members. We've been doing this for quite a while.
Is he doing anywhere else? I mean, is this like a thing you could take on the road? Are you going to like franchise it or something?
Well, we're just going to bring it back every year is our idea. We want to bring it back for two weekends right before Halloween every year after year.
So have you thought about doing
something that you kind of get used to, something you do along with your haunted house going in your pumpkin patch visit every Halloween?
I'll do it right after I watch the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown special.
Exactly.
You thought about doing any other movies? Have you thought about doing...
Well, it's hard. This, we didn't adapt this. This was already adapted and written. So getting permission is great. I've always, being a kid of the 80s, was always a little rather fond of Friday the 13th.
Totally.
Just because, I was talking to a friend last night, and it's really what taught us in our youth not to be summer camp counselors or babysitters.
Yes.
Those were not good career choices to take on. So, that might be coming some way down the road there.
Is it gory? I mean, is this a thing you can take, can people take kids to see this, or is it adults
gory? And again, whether you can take kids or not depends on your kid. A lot of kids love that kind of stuff.
Especially the kids with cold wings on
flies. We're really not recommending it for under 12. it's definitely scary and it's definitely gory. But,
okay, so it's not
13 and 14-year-olds tend to love it.
So you didn't say that it's Night of the Living Dead as a place. It's gory. Is it kind of played for laughs, or do you play totally straight?
Well, we play it totally straight, which doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't get plenty of laughs. I mean, there's a certain earnest campiness to the whole thing, really. It's played, serious. And there are definitely some genuine scares in it, I believe, too.
Excellent.
It is played totally straight, and it is played for scares, but certainly there's a lot of inherent humor. One of the all-time classic lines is when they interview the sheriff, and he says, tell us, Chief, is there any way to stop these things? And the sheriff says, yeah, they're dead,
they're all messed up.
And that always gets a huge roaring laugh and round of applause from the audience. That's a classic line.
All right, well, if people want to go see this, the Night of the Living Dead stage play, where do they say? Oh, is it like a
website? We're at the Valley Theater tonight and tomorrow night. We have shows at 10 o'clock, and again, we have shows at midnight. So you get two chances to see it each night.
Awesome. And is there a website?
There is a website, www.bluemonkeytheater.org, or you can call for tickets at 503-777-4506. And for those people who don't know, the Valley Theater is right down on the Beaverton-Hilldale Highway.
Oh.
But it's a real popular area there, right next to the bowling alley and the ice rink and... and such.
Do the zombie stuff. Do the zombie walk tomorrow, and then go see it.
Absolutely, do the zombie walk, and in fact, we have a lot of coming costumes.
No, haven't you heard about this?
I don't know. Anything.
Portland will be seized by zombies tomorrow at 5 o'clock from Pioneer Square.
Real zombies.
No, they're going to.
Real zombies.
Real zombies. Yeah, we're going to unleash the zombie horde.
Thanks.
No, there's going to be the zombie walk. It's something they're doing all around the world. Actually, there was one in New Zealand. It was amazingly successful, and they're going to do one here in Portland, Oregon, where people are going to dress up as zombies.
Is it like a parade or something?
Yeah, it's like a parade. Everybody's walking down the street like,
they're
going
to do what?
You know, so.
Well, we're encouraging people to come in costume for Night of the Living Dead because we have our zombies out there in the audience as well, and a lot of the audience is dressed as zombies. You often don't know whether the zombie sitting next to you is a zombie from the show or just another audience member, pretty much until they attack you.
Cool. You don't know if it's a zombie or a guy on the bus.
Right.
All right. Okay. Smells of urine.
John Bonaverdi, director of the Night of the Living Dead stage play, MR, BlueMonkeyTheater.com.
.org.
I'm sorry, .org. Thank you, sir. All right, brains. All right, thank you, sir, and continue. Good luck, man.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. John Bonaverdi, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's pretty cool, actually. When did he say it was? Friday and Saturday? Or
yeah, this is going to be awesome.
All right, well, go to the website and find out more. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, tell you what, let's take a break here. I'm going to play this. We'll go into the break, and then we'll come back. You've got a top four. What is your deal? You
top five scary songs of all time. You got them, right? You downloaded them?
No.
Or was I supposed to bring them?
I didn't bring them.
You didn't? Well, I just suggested it, and I figured you have a radio station, you have a way to download it, but I got other things to talk about.
Okay, you can't suggest, Clyde.
What?
If you're presenting a top five, you got to bring it with you.
Well, when do I have time to come into your studio and record this stuff? I used to be able to do this, but I don't do it anymore.
You've got a computer.
Yes, I know, but I don't know. I didn't have time. I just thought maybe you'd know.
Clyde, there you go.
You have music coming out of your ears. You've got iPods and crap.
Clyde, by definition, any group of songs that you would pick is going to be stuff that I would probably never own.
Oh, come on.
I mean, if you're suggesting, yes, if you say, like, I'm going to play, like, a Kiss song,
you have the Alice Cooper song that I have. I don't know.
No, I have it.
No?
Okay, no.
All right, just a real letdown then.
Thanks for coming in, Clyde. There you go. Glad we built that up. Fantastic. Well done.
I got that.
Thanks for being a big buzzkill for the whole room.
Did I just pull the air out of the sugar?
You really did. Thank you so much. All right, there you go, Clyde Lewis.
I want to talk about my
song.
I don't know. We'll play this. We'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
I'll give him some beer and make him funny.
I'm going to make you sing them. I'm going to make you perform.
I'm already on drugs.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back. We'll do your top five. I'm going to have you describe that, and I'm going to have you sing sections of the song.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, let's go back now to live from Broward County. Anna Nicole's mother is now on the stand. Her name is Bergie. Let's go to that live, Siri XL.
I didn't want to switch your name being female because when you also would have all the paperwork messed up, so I never switched my name, although my name is Melchoris Arthur.
Okay. Now, what do you do for a living right now?
I'm retired.
What did you do for a living before you retired?
I was a police officer.
For how long?
28 years.
And with what jurisdiction were you a police officer?
Harris County Sheriff's Department, Houston Police.
All right. Now let's go right to...
Well, what duties did you perform at the Sheriff's Department?
I worked in jail for 3 years, and the rest of my time I worked the streets. Little officer.
Were you sworn road patrol?
Yes, sir, I was.
You carried a handgun?
Yes, sir, I did.
You had all the duties of arrest?
Yes, sir, I did.
Edward Nicole's mother.
25.
Did you ride that police car by yourself?
Yes, I did.
You made thousands of arrests during your career?
Probably.
And you put 20 years in with the police department?
28.
And the biggest question they ask you when you were a police officer is that you always talked about the pension during the breaks?
Yes.
Every coffee break, right?
The extra jobs in pension, yeah.
Yeah. You may proceed.
Okay. You are Anna Nicole Smith's mom?
Yes.
Were you married at the time she was born?
Yes, I was.
Who were you married to?
Don Eugene Hogan.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he is.
All right.
Is he in the courtroom today?
I don't see him.
How come he didn't come?
He was here, Your Honor.
He was here.
Let me ask a question. Was he here earlier?
Yes, he was.
Okay. When was Vicki Lynn born?
She was born November the 28th, 1967.
Where?
In Houston, Texas.
Right. Where was she raised?
Houston, Texas.
All right. When did she leave home?
When she was 17.
Okay, and could you just briefly describe the circumstances around her leaving home?
She got hooked up with the wrong crowd at school, and I was just trying to get her away from that crowd, so let her go live with her aunt, who lived in Mahia, Texas, okay, for that semester.
All right. Now, besides Vicki Lynn Marshall, do you have any other children?
Yes, I do.
And who are they?
I have a son, David Luther Hart.
All right.
Another son, Donald Ray Hart, Jr.
Okay.
And then I have another daughter named Shauna Lynn Milburn, Hart Milburn.
Okay.
What's David Luther do? What's he do for a living?
Your Honor, can we just suffice for the fact that he's
an agent for the federal
government? What does he do?
All right, good. He's in a nice position. And how old is he?
He was born in 66.
Oh, that would make him 31. 41.
41.
Okay. And how about Ronald? What's he do?
Donald Hart, Jr.
What's he do?
He's disabled.
And was he disabled from work?
No, when he was 3 years old, he was disabled.
And how about Shauna?
Shauna is a married mother of two.
And what's her husband do?
He's like a negotiator for, he's a CEO negotiator for companies.
The disabled boy, where does he live?
He lives in Houston.
Who takes care of him?
Oh, he's old enough. He takes care of himself.
And what's his disabled? What is it?
He had a brain injury when he was three, and it crippled his whole right side. He had to learn to do everything all over again. And now he has this is his right arm, that is totally unusable.
What state does he live in?
Texas.
Houston, Texas.
Is he near you?
Yes.
How far away?
15, 20 miles.
Do you get to see him a little bit?
Yes, I do.
Did you see him once a week?
Probably more than that.
And David, where does he live?
Next door to me.
Next door to you?
Next door.
You're in a country?
Yes, we are.
My wife maybe got a house in the country.
It's nice place.
Yeah.
No,
it's tough for me to get used to the country.
Oh, but it's nice. It's peaceful.
No, and I know she's telling me. And then Shauna, where does she live?
She lives in Austin, Texas.
How far is that from you?
250 miles.
When do you get to see her?
Once or twice.
A year?
No.
Once or twice?
Every 2-3 months.
What did she do before she became a homemaker?
She was a bus driver.
That's an interesting job.
Mm-hmm.
She had plenty of stories for you?
Oh, yeah. She drove the bus for the... what's the word?
What, school board?
No.
Oh, public bus.
It was a public bus, but it was for the handicapped children.
Very nice.
Yeah. She loved it.
One regret with your daughter, what would it be? One regret.
One regret.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't to get her away from drugs. One regret.
Tell me about that. When did that begin?
I'm really bad with numbers. You know, when she sit on that...
I know.
When she sat on the thing in Rusty Gardner's, you probably don't know this, but she said, I don't remember numbers, so she got that from me. I'm not good with numbers either.
She left your home at a young age?
17.
Was she on drugs at the time?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
Why'd she leave home?
Because she was with the wrong crowd at school and she was getting in trouble.
Where did she go?
She went to Mahia, Texas, lived with my sister.
This is Anna Nicole's mother.
How long did she stay with your sister?
Probably 6 or 7 months that she quit school. At 17, you could do that in Texas.
Right.
She quit school and she went to work at the Krispy Fried Chicken in Mahia.
And
she met her husband.
She met her husband at the Krispy.
Yes,
he worked there too?
Who? He worked there too.
He worked at the same place?
Yes, he did.
And did they get married?
Yes, they did.
And how long after did a child come?
She didn't get pregnant while I really, so probably 13 months.
13 months later. How long did that marriage last?
Baby was 3 months old when she left. Daniel, he was 3 months old.
And that's the boy we're talking about that recently died?
Yes, sir. That's him.
Did you have a relationship with him?
Absolutely. He lived with me for the first 6-7 years of his life while she was pursuing her career.
As what?
She worked in exotic clubs to begin with.
I see. And then she was discovered?
Yes.
And what kind of relationship did you have with her for those first 6 or 7 years?
We had a good relationship. We went and had our hair done together. We went and got our nails and our toes done.
How far away was she living from you?
Probably 15 miles.
Was she doing drugs in those days?
No.
No. Then what happens? What happens next?
She still working there. She meets a guy. He helps her to get into the Photoshop, where she got into Playboy magazine.
And their relationship was?
Boyfriend, girlfriend.
Then what happens?
She got into Playboy magazine and she zoomed right on up.
That was her launching pad?
Yes, that was her launching pad.
What year was that? 92.
Remember I told you, I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with numbers.
And did you continue to have a relationship with her during that period of time?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Was she doing drugs then?
No.
Then what happens?
Then she got with Guess Jeans.
Is she the model for them?
She was there for a while, yes, with Guess
Jeans. So that was a big position.
Yes, it was.
She was on billboards?
Yes, she was.
Then what happens?
Guess Jeans. Then she wanted to pursue. She met Howard Marshall.
Tell me, a
millionaire in Texas.
Okay,
did you know that guy?
Yes, I did. He was a very good man.
Was he a famous man?
A rich man.
Rich man. So that made him a little famous.
Yeah. But he was a good man. He was a very good man.
Were you worried about her well-being in those days?
Not with Howard, no. Not with Howard Marshall, no.
What happened next?
Well, she told him that she didn't want to. He asked her several times to marry him, but she wouldn't do it because she wanted to pursue her career. So he helped her with her career.
He had that kind of
power. He had that kind of clout, yeah.
And then?
She got, she got famous. She did movies. She did modeling. She always wanted to be a model, though, even when she was
pregnant. And did your relationship with
Anna's claiming that they haven't spoken.
Probably in 1990s, right?
That's correct, yeah.
What would you say was the cause of it?
Drugs.
She started to take drugs?
Yes, sir.
In 95?
Yes.
What type of drugs?
She was on Valium. I can't remember what happened that good. But she liked downers. She didn't like uppers. She didn't want to be up. She liked downers.
And you started to worry about her big time?
Yes, I did.
And you, did
I'm
you...
going to object the meeting. I mean,
I'm just trying I'm just trying to move.
I know we're trying to move it along, but
all right, I'll let
she
could
have testified from personal knowledge, and we don't even know she knew from personal knowledge.
All right, well, I'm gonna turn it over to you for a little while.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a big headway.
I appreciate it.
I'm trying to get you back to the Bahamas.
Yes,
right?
That's an attention
whore. He is. And he's good.
Now we're going to slow down again.
Much better than Judge Ito.
Right. Certainly, you know what the people want. We just want all the trash. Yeah, we want to know that the baby
right
is.
Listen, one thing I neglected to ask you about, besides Dan and Nicole's brothers and sisters, would Danny Lynn have cousins in the Houston area?
Yes.
Okay, let's go down the list real quick. How many children does Shauna have?
Two.
All right, and David?
Two.
And Donald?
One.
Well, that he wants that she wants to be buried with her family in Texas. Right?
Well, if I may just tell
you. So it's relevant. Your objection's overruled.
Thank you.
So there. Right. Let's remember, who's running this show?
All right.
This is really uncomfortable.
She is. She looks like she's wearing that Britney Spears wig.
She does. She's
can you tell us,
she's a stout woman.
At least your observation
very earthy.
Of the relationship between when you observed your daughter doing drugs and when Mr. Stern appeared on the scene?
Okay. I had never met Mr. Stern.
Objection overruled. I allowed it for you.
Okay. I had never met Howard Stern. This is the first time probably I've ever seen him.
Okay. Now,
I'm just asking the Lair Credit Foundation.
Yes, you want time and place.
It must be so frustrating for the lawyers who are trying to be professional. Okay. And
have you ever talked to him on the phone?
Mm-hmm. Well, not giving a crap.
So you never met him?
No.
All right. Now, you say your problem, your relationship with your daughter became strained about 95. Did you and she keep in contact with each other?
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Did you and Anna Nicole keep in contact with each other?
Yes, off and on. Not very often, though. After...
No, I knew this was going to happen. It's buffering. 50? 72%?
She started drugs.
Well, this is live in the courtroom in Broward County, Florida.
It's happening right now.
As we speak.
What kind of condition was she in when the...
Drugged. She called me one night specifically and said, Mom, don't go to work tomorrow. I said, why? She said, because I think you're going to get killed. Promise me you won't go to work tomorrow. 4 o'clock in the morning. I go to work at 6.
All right. All right. Now, Mr. Stearns testified that you had and offered some evidence that you knew nothing about your grandson, Daniel. Now, you raised him.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, you would have raised him from...
He
was born in...
He was like 6, I think.
All right, so he would have been living with you from 86 to 92 or 93.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then where did he go?
He went to with his mom. Because by this time, Howard Marshall was taking good care of her. He bought her house, you know, and she could afford a nanny. So
just stop for a second. Let me ask you, sir. I would just borrow you for a couple hours tomorrow morning. I know you want to be with the little girl. No, but I like you being here. It helps me. It really helps me. I see a picture. I'm one who sees things in pictures. Just come in here for a couple hours tomorrow. Well, after she testifies, you can leave.
What I would request is I'll stay as late as you want tonight.
These people are worn out.
They're
just absolutely worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want me to work people beyond 5 o'clock. Yep. They have their own families. They have children and families and mothers to take care of. I know. I gotta let them go home. Do me a favor. Come tomorrow for a couple hours.
Is that Larry Burkhead?
I promise
that is.
You, I'll release you at 11. When I say release you, I'll let you leave at 11.
Then I would request that you fly home tonight.
Yes. Because I believe you're gonna come back. And don't embarrass me by not coming back. All right, come back.
I would come back.
You take care of the court. You come back tomorrow.
I mean, to me, it's very important to carry out Anna's intent, so I will be back.
All right, you can fly back tonight, and then you come back tomorrow morning. We'll start tomorrow at 9, on the button. At 9 o'clock tomorrow on the button. We're going to have you testify. And then
what if we're watching last minute that anyone ever sees him?
Tomorrow.
That's what I was thinking.
Again, totally. It's like 10 years from now when he's dragged kicking and screaming in some foreign country at the time.
We want to start to wrap it up.
I'll inform the court, Jay.
He could end up in Bahrain somewhere with Michael Jackson.
When? Well, the Bahamas, I'm going to call the Bahamas. I always have good luck.
Get the Bahamas in there.
I always have good luck. Somehow, people get a kick
luck
out of us, and they're going to cooperate with us. All right? They know we're trying hard here.
The party, he has to be a witness at that hearing. If you can help us with the judge.
I'm going
to
help you. I'm going to help you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We'll help you with the judge in the Bahamas. I can't guarantee, but we'll help you.
Can we ask for 9:30? Sorry, Your Honor, just to get...
Yeah, 9:30 is fine. You want that at 9:30?
Your Honor?
Good. Yeah,
I asked that counsel for the family members... to Ms. Arthur, Mr. Stern, give me 10 minutes, no more, in the jury room.
Yes.
To be able to discuss what was raised, to see if we can work out an understanding, and then I can start implementing it. I'm also going to ask that whatever's said in there is confidential.
Yes.
Will not be released.
Yes.
And we'll ultimately enter an order, substantive, whatever.
Yes. You detailed me. You're saving me. I brought him in for this.
He's very good at doing it.
I brought him in to save you because I knew you had enough.
He's been great, Your Honor.
Good. Good. You all have been terrific today. Really, we got a lot done. And I'm going to finish in a remedy that I think will work at some point in time. It was good. You relax and you go with your lawyer, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
And Larry, I'll see you tomorrow. You'll testify, Larry. We'll get you in.
Is this the most unprofessional thing you've ever heard?
It is terrific.
But it's in the greatest way possible. Yeah.
I mean, this belongs to VH1. So, why do things down
today? Now we're shaking hands. What's Larry Birkhead doing there? If it's not even the paternity trial, he's just kind of lurking.
Yeah.
A little creepy.
He's like a hanger-on.
Yeah, he has really bad highlights.
So they begin bright early tomorrow morning at 9:30.
So we won't be able to do it live, but we can at least have recordings of it.
This is pretty exciting.
Okay, well, it looks like that's about it.
So what have we learned today? Anna Nicole's mom was a police lady, and she took care of Daniel for the first 7 years while she was gallivanting about becoming a Playboy centerfold and meeting this millionaire who the mom liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came and took Daniel once the millionaire bought her a house and gave her a nanny, so they no longer needed the mom. And let's see here. Hang on. And then we found out that the body of Anna Nicole Smith is deteriorating faster than normal, according to people who did the embalming. So it might have been like a good, better, best type of embalming. So we don't know which one she got. So the body needs to be examined this week rather than to wait 2 weeks that had been stipulated before, because it's not going to be enough of her around. And Howard K. Stern was practically in tears today on a couple of occasions. His head was in his hands. And...
oh, they're very close to each other right now. Larry Birkhead and Howard Stern are like literally standing five feet away from each other. Well, this is crazy.
I know. Here's Howard K. Stern.
I don't know that any of them would have been durable then.
Oh, darn.
Darn it.
Darn.
She might have been limited if she ever... Her life was...
Well, we have a lot of things going on here.
I just didn't think she was going to die.
Oh, this from earlier?
Yeah, he's in tears. He didn't think she was going to die. Let's go back here and try.
She didn't think she was going to die.
So that's Howard K. Stern. So he cried a couple times today. And, boy, this has been exciting.
It sure has.
Live radio as it should be. The inner of the mind.
We're about 40 minutes late for a break.
Oh, let's take a break.
We probably should.
We'll be back. This is, by the way, the Rick Emerson Show. And we're doing what we do best in talk radio.
Yeah, it started out as best of. Now it's kind of Anna Nicole Smith banter.
As it should be.
Okay.